Welcome to the website of Community Bible Church. We hope it's helpful to you. We've included on our website sermons, both recent and in years past, that we think you will find a real help and encouragement as you listen to the teaching of God's Word. Welcome my friend Dave Bennett. He's off the road and we're so glad to have him. Big D. All right. We've been requested to do a rendition of our hit. They call me cool, I know what I need. I do what I want, act as I please. I am the center of my universe. I always think myself first, but now I've died and there's the man on his throne, and I'm standing here alone. Play it. For that. Woo! Looking back into my days on earth, from this very moment to the day of my birth, and I realized to my shame there were many times I could have got on the gospel train. But it's too late for me, baby, no turning back. Got the judgment day blue. Yeah. To send someone to get in your face so you wouldn't have to come to this awful place. They all said you already got Isaiah and Zeke. Look, open up the book, take a peek. And if you won't hear the book that he gave, you won't believe someone came back from the grave. I'm almost there. Okay, go. My peace, my time is up. I'd love to talk to you, but there's that awesome voice calling out my name. Ooh, got the judgment day. So good to get that boy back off the road. So I'm going to play you this song. It was written about the time of the Civil War. And we think we're in trouble
right now. We think that, you know, we're having a nation divided right down the middle, and things have become pretty ugly. Well, this is from an even uglier time in our history. And in the midst of all of that awful war, the news coming day by day of the battles and the victories and defeats for either side, this old man wrote this song. I live my life an endless song above earth's lamentations. I hear the sweet yet far off hymn that sends a new creation above the tumult and the strife. I hear the music ringing, it finds an echo in my soul. How can I keep from singing? Though my joys and comforts die, the Lord my Savior liveth. Though the darkness gather around, songs in the night he giveth. What storm can shake my inmost calm, while to this refuge clinging? Christ is Lord of heaven and earth. How can I keep from singing? I lift my eyes, the clouds grow dim. I see the blue above it. Day by day, this path grows smooth. Since first I learned to love it, the peace of Christ makes fresh my heart, a fountain ever springing. All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? All things are mine since I am His. How can I keep from singing? How can I keep from singing? How can I keep from singing? So in spite of what's ever going on in our world, that doesn't take away the Christian's joy. It just keeps bubbling up. That's what Jesus promised. And our friend there, he experienced it, and you will too. Let's pray together before we read the scripture. Shall we pray with me, please? Father, it's such an honor to stand up in front of your people to open the scriptures. Lord, we believe the book is absolutely true. You've given us a faithful record. We believe that holy men of God spoke as they were carried along by the Holy Spirit. We believe with the Apostle Paul that all scripture is God-breathed. So here we are, Lord, before your book, and we are your people. We ask you to open the scriptures and help us. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, let's begin reading 1 Peter chapter 1, starting at verse 3. You'll recognize this first section. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. In his great mercy, he has given us new birth into a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus from the dead, and into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you,
who through faith are shielded by God's power until the coming of the salvation that is ready to be revealed at the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, here it comes, though now for a little while you may have to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. Did you hear that? I'm going to read it again. Though now for a little while you may have had to suffer grief in all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes even though refined in the fire, your faith may be proved genuine and may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know, somebody said, you remember the old people used to say this all the time, the same sun that melts wax hardens clay. Remember that? Yeah, it's been said for years. I never knew it when my grandma would say it, and I can't remember any situations that any of the context. I just remember her saying that and me saying, that's weird, you know, but she had a point. And you know, it's not the sun. The same sun hardens the clay and melts the wax, but it's actually the substance of the material that determines how it reacts to the heat. And when Christians go through heat, they react differently to those who are non-believers. Because Christians believe that behind this world stands a true, living, loving, and all-powerful God, that even though we might not understand our trial, we know he's going to get us through this thing. And in spite of what we're going through, we find out that we can endure. And that it actually reforms us, makes us better. When those who don't know the Lord, it's different. What happens is we get bitter at life. Myron used to say it all the time, still does. Not like you're gone, Gall. I don't mean to act like that. You either get better or bitter, right? Because life is going to happen to everybody in this room. And so, let's see when the heat comes, how we react. It's really true. So today, I have 2 points. They're simple. The first point is this. The reason for our trials. And my second point is this. You got the first one down? The reason for our trials. And the second one is this. The reason for our trials. That's what I said. My first point, the reason for our trials. My second point, the reason for our trials. And I know what you're saying. That's right. You're thinking, thank God bless him. It finally hit him. That old dementia is just kicking in. God bless him. He doesn't even realize what's happened to him. Saying the same point twice. The reason for our trials, that is the cause. And the reason for our trials, that is the purpose. Let me show you what I mean. We need a good grasp on both of these things in order to really get a grip on our lives and get a grip on what we're going through. A lot of you are going through some terrible things. The reason for our trials, there are some reasons why we go through stuff. Number one, the reason we go through stuff, it's a result of our own actions. I had to kind of spit that one out, you know. But it's true, we all sometimes create our own problems. We do some silly things. We are disobedient and do some things that hurt other people and hurt ourselves. And we create our own trials. Nobody's saying amen to that when I noticed... But this is the principle. I mean, in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, Paul says, don't be deceived. A man reaps what he sows. Sitting out on the deck yesterday. No, it was maybe the day before. Day before yesterday with Debbie. And our neighbors have got this incredibly beautiful garden right on the property line. We get to enjoy the view of it and the taste of it. They do all the work. We get to enjoy the beauty. Both, you know, with our eyes and our lips. It's pretty good stuff. We love it. You know what happens? Mr. Perfect, remember my neighbor, Mr. Perfect, that does everything perfectly. He planted a garden. Came out and he took seed and he put it in the ground. And you know what? Where he planted zucchini, guess what came up? Zucchini. where he planted beans, it's amazing. Beans come up. You know, he gets this package with a picture of a fruit, you put it, or a vegetable, you put it in the ground and it grows. It's amazing. Let me tell you, there is this principle in Scripture for all of us that in this life we reap what we sow. If you reap, if you sow blessing into other people's lives, if you choose healthy things grow in your life. And sometimes we choose some pretty dumb stuff. And when we do, remember an old preacher told me that he used to hate planting corn on his grandpa's farm. His grandpa said, come on, boy, you're going to plant this field, and here's the bags, and here's the planter. And it was a couple of acres for him. That was a ton as a little boy. And he was out, and he did about two or three rows, and he went, took all the seed and threw it down by the swamp. Guess what didn't grow? Yeah, there was like two rows of corn come up, and then this big pile of corn out by the swamp. Whatever you sow grows. It's true. Now we got it? When we're going through stuff, we really do got to examine, okay, how did I help this bad situation? You know, how did I help create this? And sometimes we just do. We can hurt so many people, and facing it and fixing it causes great pain. A friend of mine had an affair, and his wife found out. And he broke everybody's heart, including his own. You know what I love about him? Was that he just didn't pack up and leave with a girlfriend. He realized what he was doing and told her goodbye forever. And he went home and worked for 4 years to win his wife's trust again. His children were brokenhearted. They were a little bit older. I mean, it was terrible. He created that himself.
I would have kicked him to the curb.
You would have kicked him to the curb, will you? Oh, you're killing me, Wendy. Okay, well, anyhow. Oh, that's funny. Well, you know, she wanted to kick him to the curb, and he did whatever she needed. He kept his distance when she needed that and did his best to reassure her when he could, put his entire family back together. But you know what? He didn't run. Sometimes when we screw up really badly, we just want to run away. Run off to a new life where we don't have to face those people. Let me tell you, that doesn't go away, guys. But the Christian way to do it is to face it and to fix it. Whether the wife kicks you to the curb or not, you do the right thing. And you rebuild your life and try to bring healing and help to the people you've hurt. Boy, that's a tough subject, isn't it? I tell you what, I'm talking to a young couple this week. And he was going through, he's a Christian boy. And he's going through some really deep, really strange spiritual stuff that was happening to him. He's not mentally ill, but he was hearing things really loudly that were evil in his head, and he didn't know where all this stuff was coming from. But what he didn't realize is his wife was on a trip, and on that trip, she went to a fortune teller and talked to the fortune teller about her husband, and him having this terrible problem happened right when she was doing that. She was causing this spiritual problem by her activity with the occult. And so it was a joy to talk to both of them. And I said to her, you have to repent of this. You have to ask God's forgiveness and your husband's forgiveness. And they're making it right. But you see that? We create a lot of our own stuff. So do not be deceived. A man or a woman reaps what we sow. Reasons for our trials, a lot of it's a result of our own actions, and we have to be honest about that and face them squarely. Another one is there are spiritual trials that we go through, and what I mean by that is that there are spiritual trials that we just go through because we're a Christian. Listen, if you live for Jesus, it's not going to be easy in dealing with the rest of the world. Now, of course, you be a blessing to all. You be an encouragement and a help to everybody. But listen, a lot of people just aren't going to like you. Jesus says, it was Paul who said, anyone who lives godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. You're going to have trials just because of who you are. Peter refers in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. You might want to write that down. He told the people to not be surprised at the fiery trial they were going through. It was caused because of their relationship to Jesus. Jesus said in John 16, in this world you will have trouble, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world, right? I mean, those things are going to happen. Jesus said, they hated me without reason. They're going to hate you too. My buddy Dan was involved in police work for his whole career. And he was a Christian, and of course, and lived for Christ. He wasn't a prude. You know, he wasn't anything but faithful and strong. But you know, he didn't get promotions throughout his career because they said he wasn't a team player. And in those days, the good old boy system within the police department sometimes, that meant he wouldn't drink and chase with those guys. And so because of that, he wasn't a team player. They didn't think they could trust him. And because of his relationship to Jesus, he had trouble. I mean, there's going to be trouble because of our own actions. There's going to be spiritual trials because of whose we are. And then here's the really tough one. Trials because of a broken world. And let me tell you, these are the most difficult kind because in many cases, you'll never know or understand the reason why. There's a lot of difficult things that happen. Look at the book of Job, okay? Job loses everything he has and all 10 of his children. I mean, the calamity is unbelievable. And the whole book is this fiasco of Job's friends trying to figure out why this happened and Job trying to figure out why it happened. I mean, you got Job's friends accusing Job, saying, man, you must be, you know, you must be doing all kinds of terrible stuff for God to do this to you. And then Job complaining about God, saying, how can you do this to me? At one point he says to God, come on, put the gloves on. Come on down. Let's have it out. I can't take this anymore. Those are tough places to be. I remember the day we were all out to dinner and we got a call. The Schroeder boys had been killed in a car accident. We'll never know why. We'll never see the reason why. And I'm telling you, the way you face those things are very, very important. I mean, it's so interesting. First of all, it of course blew their marriage apart. But I saw mom walk toward the Lord, and I saw dad walk into atheism after that. And it's just heartbreaking. But when we have to have the answers to everything, and when we're dealing with trials from a broken world, man, that is really, really difficult. You're going to face those. There's stuff's going to happen in your life, and we'll understand it better by and by, the old people used to sing, right? And that's true. The trials come for those reasons. So, my first point, the reason for our trials. My second point, the reason for our trials. The cause is number one, and then the purpose is number two. Now we get to Peter. Now listen, we're not going to be able to understand everything, but we do understand the purpose and the result this stuff has in our lives. Number one, let's look at 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 7. It's talking about, in half of verse 6, for a little while you may have had to suffer grief of all kinds of trials. These have come so that your faith of greater worth than gold, which perishes though refined in the fire, may be proved genuine. You know what happens when you go through trials? It's not that we have all great understanding of why and how and all that kind of stuff. But something happens. Those who have truly trusted the Lord cling to Him. And you know what it proves? It proves you're the real deal. That your faith is genuine. You aren't reacting like you used to when stuff hits you. You might not be perfect in your reaction, and when you react wrong, you admit it and you deal with it. But I mean, there's a change. You see the world differently now that you've put your faith and trust in Jesus, who died for our sins and was resurrected from the dead. Now you see the world differently. It means your faith in Christ is real. Man, I tell you, all these years in this place, all these thousands and thousands of hospital visits watching you guys struggle through life and face the things that are so difficult.
I just want to say I'm so proud of you. And you know what it's proved to me after all these years of watching all of you? You guys are real. You've gone through some unspeakable and very difficult things. And your faith has been proven to be the real thing. It's not based in, well, I'm going to do this so God will do this for me. It's not based in, I'm going to go through these rituals and I'll get like religious lucky or something. But it's like the statement that Job finally made. Even though he slay me, yet will I trust in him. I don't know why, but I'm going to trust him. To me, that's beautiful. It shows that you're the real deal. Oh, here's one you don't want to hear. You ready for this? Secondly, it develops patience. Go back to the book of James. You know this one. James. Oh, you're not going to like this. You know, I got to tell you, I played golf this week. I know that's odd, you know, for me to take time out and do that. But I played. My uncle Bud called me. Said, hey, boy, let's play. So he gives me what morning and what time. And you want to know why I cleared everything to go? Because he's 95. 95. And I'll tell you something about Uncle Bud. I hate him, first of all, because he's got really thick, curly hair, just like Benny over here. But he's 95 and still got it all there, boy. I've watched him go through awful things. I've watched him take care of his wife who was dying of Alzheimer's. I watched him give it everything he had. I watched him love her and respect her and go through those awful times and come out the other side such a deeper person. In fact, just a few of us were here one day, and this is a few years ago. He called me up and said, is your baptismal tank full? I said, well, we can fill it. Uncle Bud, what's going on? He goes, well, I was baptized as a little boy, but you know, after what I've been through, I feel like I need to be baptized again. And he came, and it was just a couple of us were here. And we baptized him in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and he dedicated his life to Christ. Hey, like we played 9 holes, and it was like 300 degrees. You know, I got a very light shirt on and shorts. He's got long pants, long sleeve shirt, and a big floppy hat, okay? At the end of 9, I'm thinking, I got to get him in and feed him a sandwich or something. He's going to die. And he said to me, I went to shake his hand, but thanks, Uncle Bud. He goes, we done? And I said, you want to keep going? I'll tell you if I get tired, boy. So we played another 9. He was a magpie the whole time. And then I take him in the clubhouse. He gets this tuna sandwich that's like, seriously, it's this big. He pounded that thing down, ate potato chips with it, and drank 2 Pepsis. 95! What a guy. But I'm telling you, I just saw this faith that's driving his life. It's real. He knows that the Lord loves him, even though he might not understand everything right now. But he knows that Jesus is resurrected from the dead, that it was historically true. He clings to that, and he trusts the Lord to help him. To me, that's just beautiful. But okay, so anyhow. So it proved that you're the real deal when you go through that. Something else too, though. It develops this patience, and let's read it. James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance, patience. You know what happens? We go through trouble, and when we go through trouble, we grow in it. We like grow up. All right, so I'll tell you, whenever I have to be, I love babies. They are so sweet. And if we had babies when we were in our 20s, it'd have been fine. But if I have to hang around and take care of them very long, it wears me out. I'm too old for this, right? You say the same things when the grandkids come over. I'm too old for this, right? Pammy knows. Holy cow. And it's because every time a baby makes any kind of little whimper, we're right there. What's wrong? What's wrong? What do they need? They can just cry, and then we got to figure out what they need and try to fix it and, you know, put the binky in and change the diaper and all that stuff. I am terrible at changing diapers. And I vow to never do it ever, ever, ever again. Okay, but you know, you do all that stuff. You just take care of that baby. Anything that baby needs, bam, you're right there. But you know, when kids get older, you give them some responsibility, right? I'll never forget when I bought my first car.
First of all, my dad said, you want a car? Get a job. That's what you're going to do. I'm not paying for it. So he, remember, I got a job. He like made me get a job, right? So I got a job. It was really messing up my fun. I had to work. And then he decided that I'm going to save 3/4 of everything I made. If you want a car, you're paying for it, mister. So I did that. And then I was going to buy this really cool car. And he came to work one day and said, where's your money? I found a car you're buying, you know. And I thought it was going to be a Ford Falcon station wagon with dingle balls around the windows with fur on the steering wheel from some old grandma. And it wasn't. It was a really cool two-door 1965 Le Mans. It was red with racing stripes. It was happening, I'm telling you. Well, anyhow, I can remember it was, I thought the transmission was slipping, and I've never dealt with a car before. And so I called my dad and said, hey, Pops, we got a problem with my car. And there's a pause. And Dad says, what do you mean we, Kemosabe? It's not my car. You call a mechanic. Have him figure it out. That's yours. Let me ask you a question. When you first became a Christian, were you absolutely amazed at the answers to your prayers? You were a baby in Christ. And he hovered over you, and by the way, still does, but hovers over you and seemed to take care of everything so that you would know how loved and nurtured you are by him. But as you grew as a Christian, something happens. He gives you more responsibility. You know what? I'm not going to fix this. You figure this out. Not that he leaves, but he puts it in your hands. And that's what happens. It's called growing up. It's becoming mature. It's developing patience. You know what that means? Perseverance. It means you just don't blow everything up when stuff goes wrong. You back up and say, okay, what do I got to do here? And you deal with it. And you stay true to your commitments and you hang in there. Do you see that? I think that is beautiful. It develops great patience. So God steps back a little and lets you handle some stuff. It just develops this. It's a beautiful thing. You see that? You see it? I think that's interesting. So it proves you're the real deal. It proves, it develops, patience. And then, let me give you another one. It helps you experience real joy. I mean, real joy. It says this back in 1 Peter, where we read from our text earlier, that we are, this is in the middle of verse 8, that you are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. What in the world are you talking about? I'm going through tough times. My circumstances are awful. I don't know what to do. But yet, in the midst of it all, you know that he's there. And you know that he loves you, even though you can't figure it out. And something happens. All of a sudden, you have a joy that has nothing to do with your circumstances. That is good when that happens. I go see, Sherry, I saw your mom the last couple of days. And you know, I'm so amazed at her poise in this. And her unbelievable peace. Whether she lives or she dies, she's ready for whatever the Lord has for her. To me, it's beautiful. And it's not tied to her circumstances. And I was really glad, well, not that I didn't get to see you, but everybody was out of the room. It was just her and me. I said, how are you thinking? How are you feeling about this? And she said, I'm good with whatever the Lord wants to do. I'd love to stay with my family if the Lord will heal me. And if he won't, I'm ready to see him. I was moved by that kind of, you know, guys, that is a joy that doesn't come from anywhere except from the Spirit of God living in the hearts of God's people. I'm just so impressed. Okay, so this incredible, incredible joy. Well, it happened this week. Dan and I were recording some stuff for the website as we continue to develop our new website. And Patrick, you're doing such a great job with that too. We appreciate you guys' hard work on it. And we're in the middle of recording. Tracy's working in the front office, and she opens the doors back here, and she has this little guy with her, and they wave to let me know somebody's here to visit me. So I say to Dan, after we finish this thing, let me take a break. And I go back, and it's old Arnold Hashman. He was the pastor that built this building in 1971. He was the one that we bought it from. He's a little Assembly of God pastor. And I said to him, Pastor, would you come up in my office? We'll go upstairs. And I said to him, how old are you? He said, 98. Did you get that number? I said, nobody's ever going to say that to me probably again. 98. And what's cool about him, you kids will love it. He's driving a Scion, one of those little square jobs, you know, those little cars. His kids talked him into driving a Scion, so it'd be cool. They take him to, you know, they take him to all these cool clothing places to buy all the happening clothes. I mean, he's a happening dude, and he's 98, okay? Whew! So we talk, and I said to him, Pastor Hashman, when did you start preaching? He said, boy, I was 18 years old, and the first church I passed was a little storefront church, and I made the pews myself, and we had these little lights hanging down, little bulbs, and we put little shades around them so it wasn't too glaring. He said, boy, it was a blessing being in that little place. So I did the math. You can't help it, right? I said, wait. You've been doing this for 80 years? And he goes, yeah, I guess I did. Wow, it's been 80 years. 80? Did you hear that, people? 80 years. I said, okay. Let me ask you this. What is the most important thing you learned through the last 80 years? He didn't even have to think about it. He said, the greatest thing I've ever learned in my life is that God is always faithful. Since he is always faithful, I can face anything. And I've been through some hard times. And he starts listing stuff he'd been through. And oh my goodness. You know, he's the last one in his family alive other than a granddaughter. He's got a couple of granddaughters. One is married, by the way, to Johnny Lang, the blues guitarist, Johnny Lang. Just played Meadowbrook with Buddy Guy. So wait, he told me that one day. And I said, wait. The Johnny Lang? We talking about Johnny Lang? Yeah, he plays some of that rock and roll kind of blues music. I said, wow. Anyhow, he goes out there and hangs with all the people, and they love him, and he preaches them the gospel. And I mean, but the thing that's driven his life for all these years is that there is a God, and he is faithful. And it's given him a perspective now in his life where he's buried almost all of his family members. He's outlived he's got grandchildren in their 50s. Do you hear that? Holy, and they're late. Yeah, well, you know, I said, I want you to live until one of your grandkids go on Social Security. I just got to see that day. I mean, that's a record or something, you know. Do you see that, though, you guys? Do you see it? That's amazing. So, it proves that you're the real deal. It develops maturity, endurance in our lives, patience. And then it helps us to experience real joy, because there's today, like, there might be nothing happy to be happy about in your life, and yet you're going to experience these feelings of security and love and help. That's a beautiful, last of all. Okay. Get this. Back to 1 Peter chapter 1. Get this. That you may be proven genuine. This is the middle of verse 7. And this may result, these trials may result in praise, glory, and honor when Jesus Christ is revealed. That means when he comes again. You hear that? Though you've not seen him, you love him. And even though you don't see him now, you believe in him, are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls. You know what it causes us to do? It causes us to focus on the glory that's coming. It was Paul. He said in Romans, I consider that our present sufferings are not worth being compared to the glory that will be revealed in us. Oh, we're going someplace good. We've got a future that is absolutely amazing. It was when Moses chose to stop living as an Egyptian and living as a Jew there in Egypt, even though he had been raised the grandson of Pharaoh, he left it all, and he considered reproach of Christ to be more valuable than the treasures of Egypt. Isn't that amazing stuff? To me, that is amazing. Let me read verse 4 from 1 Peter chapter 1. It says this: into an inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you. There are rewards beyond this life as we struggle through the troubles of this life. I mean, listen to the old African-American spirituals, that when they were slaves, what they went through and what they endured, yet they clung to the Lord and they clung to their future in heaven. It's happened to all of us. Listen, I know you're going through a lot. I know that there's a lot of causes for what we go through. We talked about that. But I want you to know that God has this in, this is what you need to hear today, okay? God is not the author of our trials, evil, or suffering. Do you hear this? God is not the author of our trials or evil or suffering, but He has a wonderful capacity to use them in our lives. I'm going to say it one more time. God is not the author of our trials, evil, or suffering, but He has a wonderful capacity to use them. Let's pray together, shall we pray? All right, Lord, here we are. We ask that You will just continue Your work. Help us in the stuff we're going through now. Give us Your perspective and help us. We are clinging to You. We believe that You have got great purpose behind the things that are happening in our lives. So, Lord, right now, each of us calls into mind what we're struggling with, what we would wish would just go away. Father, that thing, would You help us to embrace that and to pay attention and see where You're going to take us with it? Help us, Lord. May You continue to transform us to be more like Jesus. And we thank You for it in His name. Amen. Thanks for coming, everybody. We're closing with a song, and we'll be gone.
It is somebody's birthday tomorrow. We cannot forget Mr. Tom Hampton's birthday.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you.
Song this morning, when I get older, losing my hair, many years from now, will you still be sending me a Valentine birthday greeting bottle of wine? If I've been out to 2:45, would you lock the door? Here it comes. Will you still need me? Will you still feed me when I'm 64? How did this happen to me? Okay.
And only thank the dear Lord because the 60s were good to you.
Well, thank you for visiting the website of Community Bible Church. We hope you found it helpful. Also, if you're ever in or around Waterford, Michigan, we would love to have you come and visit us for a Sunday morning service. We'd love to have you come. Let us know you found us on the web. So God bless you, my friends.